And there's such a wonderful opportunity we have during Thanksgiving to express our thanks to the Lord for all that he's done for us and all of his provisions in our life. All of it comes from the Lord. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. We're grateful for his opportunities that he gives to us, the strength he gives to us to work and to make a living. All of it is from the Lord. And, you know, even in difficult times in our life, we still have opportunity to be thankful. I'm sure that if you look real deep, you can find something to be thankful for. If you're a Christian, you have lots to be thankful for your wonderful salvation. I heard the story of a pastor who was just started off in a church, and he was new, and he at the end of every sermon, he'd go to the back door and welcome everyone, and, you know, every time there would be this lady that would come up to him and criticize his sermon. So that's the worst sermon I've ever heard. First time, you know, he kind of just brushed it off. The second time, he kind of got a little concerned. The third time, he was really concerned. And so he went to one of the deacons and he mentioned her by name and said, you know, what's the deal? And the deacon said, oh, pastor, don't pay any attention to her. She just repeats what everyone else says. First Thessalonians chapter 5. I hope that's not the case this morning. You're welcome to stay and have lunch with us. You have to have lunch. And you say, well, I didn't sign up. That's okay. You stay anyway. We'd love to have you. First Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 1. The Bible says, but the seasons, the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. And when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we shall live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their works' sake. And be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you so much for your word, and we're grateful for the opportunity that we have to gather together and to look at what your word has to say, and Lord, it's truth for our life. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us. I pray, Lord, that we would be truly a thankful people, that we would look to you, and Lord, help us to understand your sovereign work in our life each and every day. We love you. We thank you for all that you've done, for your wonderful salvation, this wonderful church, and these wonderful people. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us to grow and to learn this morning. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible says in our text, in everything, give thanks. And the Bible teaches us here that this is the will of God concerning you. Now, this passage of Scripture is directly talking about us today. It's talking about me. It's talking about you. And the Bible says here in this text that this is God's will concerning us. All of us today have taken a different pathway in our life. If you're a Christian today, the Bible says run your race that's set before you, and your race is a specific race. We all have a different race to run, and God brings about and allows various burdens and trials and troubles to come into our life. But listen, though God doesn't always take those burdens away, he always gives us the grace to go through them. And the Bible teaches us in this passage of Scripture that God is in control of what lies ahead. The Bible says here to give thanks, and the giving of thanks is not God's will, but it's behind the thanks that here Paul is talking about, to understand that we are to give thanks for all things. Why? Because all things are the will of God for our life. And that's the premise of this passage of Scripture. We have to have a godly perspective on the events of our life. And we must be a thankful Christian. Dr. Warren Wiersbe was the former pastor of Moody Church in Chicago. And for years, he was the general director and Bible teacher for the Back to the Bible radio broadcast. And he said this about thankfulness. He said, some people are appreciative by nature and some are not. And it is these latter people who especially need God's power to express thanksgiving. We should remember that every good gift comes from God, and that he, as the theologians put it, is the source and the support and the end of all things. The very breath in our mouths is a free gift of God, and thankfulness is the opposite of selfishness. And so today we're going to be a thankful people or we're going to be a selfish people. And the Bible teaches us that we are to be a thankful people. Someone said giving thanks is not a matter of feeling thankful. It's a matter of obedience. The Bible says give thanks. Understand that the events that have come into our life, the pathway we have walked in our life, is the very will of God for our life. And we are to be a thankful people. We are to be a thankful people. I want us to notice, if we could, number one this morning, the foundation of gratitude. The foundation of gratitude. Now, the Bible makes it simple for us. It says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Notice that expression there, concerning you. Again, this is specific for each of us. We all have different races to run, and all of us have different burdens that we have to bear or will bear or have borne. And the Bible says that this is God's will for our life concerning us. And yet the foundation of our thankfulness begins with Jesus Christ. Now, I have to say this morning that it begins at salvation. And if you're going to be a thankful people in Jesus Christ, then you have to know him in a personal way. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. This is the gift of salvation. This is our eternal life. And this is where thankfulness begins in the life of a Christian. I mean, if your life, if you're going through a terrible time, if you have burden upon burden that's pressing upon your life, then as a Christian, we can always look to Christ and we can thank him for that unspeakable gift, the gift of salvation. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57, it says, but thanks be to God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, we have here a wonderful verse that teaches us that we can be thankful to Christ for the victory that is offered through him. You know, when we stop thanking God for eternal life, then we begin to slide towards selfishness in every matter of our life. Think about this for just a moment. This is the foundation of gratitude. And when we as Christians stop thanking God for salvation, then it's easy to slide to not be thankful for every area of our life. Psalm 95, would you turn there with me? Psalm 95. And notice what the scripture says, Psalm 95 and verse number 1. Psalm 95 and verse number 1. Here we have a psalm of thanksgiving unto the Lord. It says here in the very first verse of the 95th psalm, it says, "Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation." That's the foundation right there of gratitude. The rock of our salvation. "Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods." Now, I don't know your attitude that you had when you came into this building, and maybe you have Thanksgiving plans tonight, and you know you're thinking about having to go here or travel there, or these people are coming over, and you're not fond of those people, and you got all of these thoughts and all of these pressures and all of these burdens, and it's easy for us to enter into the presence of God and not have an attitude of thanksgiving. But the Bible teaches us that we have to push all of those things aside for just a moment, and we have to think about the great hope that we have in our heart, the very foundation of our gratitude, and that is we were on our way to hell and Jesus saved us. We were lost in darkness and now we're in the light. And the Bible says here that God is a great God and he is King of kings and he's Lord of lords and he's our Savior, and we have this rock of salvation and we can be grateful for all that he's done for us. And this has to be our attitude. Let's turn, if we could, ahead to Romans chapter 6 and notice what the Bible says in Romans chapter 6. And think of what the Bible says. We think about our salvation and grateful for the salvation that he provides us. Romans chapter 6 and verse number 17. The Bible says this, "But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you." And that form of doctrine was the gospel. You have believed the gospel. And now he says we are saved from sin. We are saved from ourselves. And we have a new calling in our life. We have a Savior. And he says here in verse 17, "God be thanked for saving us. God be thanked for redeeming us." This is our salvation. And we can be thankful for that salvation, but also we can be thankful for his security. Would you turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1? 2 Timothy chapter 1. And notice what the Bible says in verse number 12 together. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 12. The Bible says in the 12th verse, "For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day." Listen, I'm glad today that we are in the hands of God. And when we look at our world today, our world is a mess. I mean, the direction of our world and the blatant sin that we see around us, our society is losing fast. And I'm glad today that we are secure as Christians in the very hand of God. And the Bible teaches us that no man is able to pluck us out of God's hand. In 1 Peter 5, 6, the Bible teaches us that God's hand is mighty. I'm glad today that we are secure in the hand of Almighty God. And we can be thankful for a wonderful salvation. And we can be thankful for his security, but also let's be thankful this morning for his steadfastness. I'm glad that even though we live in a changing world, that God never changes, and he's always the same. And the Bible teaches us in Lamentations chapter 3 that it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Every morning, the mercies of God reset. Every morning, the Bible says, his compassions fail not. Great is thy faithfulness. We have a God who is faithful. He is faithful, and we can trust him today. He is a steadfast God in our life. You know, think about for a moment our inconsistencies. All of us are inconsistent at the best of times. Aren't you glad that God is not inconsistent? Aren't you glad that there is neither shadow of turning with God, that he is faithful, he's always the same, and our inconsistencies often cause us great problem, but oftentimes we blame God for those problems, but they're not because of God, they're because of us. God is faithful to the very end. The Bible says in Colossians 2, verse 6, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. I think it's easy for us to understand that gratitude is an important part of the Christian life. And when we cease from being thankful, it really pushes us on a pathway away from God. We ought to be abounding in this thanksgiving, the Bible says. And we have so much as Christians to be thankful for. A wonderful salvation. He is steadfast. He is faithful. And we are secure in the Lord. But not only the foundation of gratitude, would you notice with me the focus of gratitude? The Bible says in Psalm 100 to enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise, to be thankful unto him and bless his name. Now, in the Bible, when you use that or when you see that expression, you know, the name of the Lord, it's speaking more than just the name of God, but the very nature of who God is. And here the psalmist is saying, listen, you got to enter into the gates, speaking of the gates of the temple, you need to enter in with a thanksgiving, a heart of gratitude. And you need to come into the courts with praise and be thankful for who God is. That's what the Bible is saying in this passage of Scripture. To bless his name is to consider God's nature. And then it defines for us in verse number 5. It says here, for the Lord is good. He is good. God is a good God. And his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generation. Listen, we need to be grateful for the Lord. To be grateful for the Lord. I remember talking to an individual during a terrible loss in their life. And, you know, I was doing my best to try to comfort them with Bible verses and such. And I remember that individual saying to me, I don't know how anyone in the world who doesn't know God can cope with losing or going through something like this. And aren't you glad today that God is with you? Aren't you glad that his mercy endureth forever? Aren't you glad that his grace is real and sufficient? And until you go through a trouble or a trial in your life, you really can't understand the idea that God's grace is sufficient and his help is real in the difficulties of our life. And we can be grateful for the Lord. He is with us and he is there to help us. Isaiah 42:8 says, I am the Lord, that is my name. And my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Nahum chapter 1, verse 7 says, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him. The focus of a grateful Christian is who God is. And oftentimes we can be like Peter and we get distracted by the events of our life and we look at the wind, we look at the storms, and you know, we're living the impossible life, the Christian life, and we get distracted looking around us. But our focus must be on the Lord and his goodness and his mercy and his truth and his power in our life and his glory and his love. Listen, the devil is real, and in the in the life of a Christian, he is very present there to remind us or try to discourage us. And he wants us to think that God isn't good, that God isn't helpful, that God's grace isn't sufficient. And that's why the Bible teaches us in the book of 1 Peter 5:8, the Bible teaches us that we are to cast our care upon the Lord. Why? Because he cares about us. But then the Bible says, be sober and be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion. He walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And he whispers in our ears all the time, if God cared about you, why would this event come into your life? Why would this trial come into your life? This Christian isn't struggling with this. This person isn't facing this. Why are you facing this? And yet the Bible says, no, God cares about us and he loves us and has a purpose in the trials of our life. And so we are to be thankful, not for the trial specifically, but thankful for who God is in our life. He is good all of the time. And the Bible says he is full of mercy and love. You know, when we give thanks for all things, it is not as much as the circumstance as it is the God who allowed the circumstance. And it's understanding that his way is perfect, that God never makes mistakes, that he is in control, and that his mercy and his grace will help us. And so we need to be grateful for the person of the Lord, but also grateful for the Lord's provision. I want you to turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. If you turn there, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and notice what the Bible says. 1 Corinthians 11, we'll begin our reading in verse number 24. We have here in this passage of Scripture really the order of the Lord's table and the purpose of the Lord's table, a gift that was given, has been given to the local church. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 in verse 24, it says, and when they had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also, he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. Now, two things that's important that we see in this passage of Scripture. First of all, what is the focus of the Scripture? Well, it's, of course, the Lord. It's the cross. It's his sacrifice at Calvary. And the Lord's table is really a memorial service. It's a time of revival in the heart of a Christian where we look at the Lord and we're grateful and thankful for his sacrifice. But what is the provision that was given? Well, again, it is the Lord. He is the provider. He is the one who gave himself so that we could have eternal life. And so this is indeed the provision of the Lord. This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. And so what we are remembering during the Lord's table is we are focusing on the Lord, and we are remembering that he died for us, that he gave of himself, that he is the provision himself, that he is the one who gave us eternal life. And so we are to come with a thankful heart and be grateful for the Lord's provision in our life. Christ gave himself for our salvation. He gave himself so that we could have eternal life. And this is just the greatest thing in the life of a Christian that we can be grateful for. And how, you know, in our busyness today, we often don't take time to thank the Lord for that wonderful salvation that he has given to us. And I think being a Christian is to have that gratitude for his eternal life that he provides. I heard the story of an atheist who was walking through the woods. And, you know, he was admiring all the so-called accidents that occurred, right? I mean, he wasn't giving any time for God, but just looking at nature and all that nature had provided. And he was looking at the majestic trees and the powerful rivers and the beautiful animals. And, you know, he said to himself as he was walking along, you know, how amazing all of this is. And aren't we just lucky as people? We're just so lucky people. I mean, all of this by chance. Wow, that's just amazing. And as he was walking through the woods, this huge 7-foot grizzly bear shows up. And I mean, it scared him. I mean, it's standing right in the pathway of where he's walking. And he's looking over his shoulder and he saw this grizzly bear. And, you know, it's Thanksgiving morning and this grizzly bear's hungry. And I mean, it's time for a feast, right? And he's walking toward this man. And so, you know, he does what anyone would do. He starts to run. And as he's running away from this grizzly bear, he trips and falls. And the grizzly bear stands over him, 7-foot grizzly bear, puts his paws up, and all of a sudden this atheist calls out to God, and time freezes, stands still. And a bright light shines down upon the man, and God begins to speak. And he says, "You deny my existence for all of these years. You teach other people that I don't exist. And even credit creation to some cosmic accident. Do you expect me as the God, the creator of all things, to help you in this place after you've rejected me and denied me?" And the atheist looked directly at the light and said, "Well," he said, "I'd feel quite a bit like a hypocrite if I asked for your help right now over the years. But," he said, "could you just do me one favor? Could you make the bear a Christian?" And God said, "Very well." The light went away and the river began to run and everything went back to normal. And that bear dropped his right paw. And then he dropped his left paw and put them together and said, "Lord, for this food which I'm about to receive, I am truly grateful." You know, God expects us to be a thankful people. He expects us to be a thankful people. And we are to be grateful for our salvation. We are to be grateful for the provision of the Lord. But we are to be grateful to the Lord's people. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15, the Bible says, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." And I'm thankful for you this morning, and I pray for you every day. I'm thankful to God for those who serve and teach, and thankful for those who sacrifice in this place. A church cannot go forward except for the sacrifice and the hard work of people. And we thank God and we pray. And listen, we ought to pray for each other. We ought to pray for God's help and God's strength and God's wisdom in each of our lives. The Bible teaches us that we are to be thankful for a Bible-preaching church. We are to be thankful for a people who love the Lord. I've preached at many other churches, but I always love preaching at Kitchener Baptist Church, and I love that you love to hear the Bible and that you want to hear what God has to say, and that's a blessing to me. You're an easy people to preach to, and you don't find that in all churches, and so be grateful to the Lord's people. We see the foundation, we see the focus, but lastly, I want to see the fruit of gratitude. The fruit of gratitude. How is gratitude expressed in our life? Well, we have to go back to our text in Psalm 100, to our victory chapter. I think it's important for us to know that the fruit of gratitude, it's expressed in praise. Gratitude and grateful Christians praise the Lord. It says, "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name." In our next service this afternoon, after lunch, I'm going to break down Psalm 100 and go more into that. But the Bible teaches us that a grateful people, they're going to praise the Lord. And they're going to praise him for who he is. And they're going to bless his name. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15, the Bible says, "By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually." Well, what we think of praise today, how is this praise expressed? Look at this. "That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name." You know, this is acknowledging the Lord. I think this is an important part, practically, of how we acknowledge. The Bible says, acknowledge the Lord and he will direct your paths. I think just expressing thanks to him, telling him that we are thankful for his salvation. We're thankful for his guiding hand in our life. And so the Bible teaches us that a thankful Christian praises the Lord. But I do understand this, that ungrateful Christians pain the Lord. If grateful Christians praise the Lord and the Lord is happy, and the Bible says it's sacrifice of praise, is giving thanks to him, then an ungrateful Christian truly pains the Lord. And I think that this is expressed in the life of Jesus and his healings. And how only one, you know the story of only one came back to thank him. I mean, it really broke the Savior's heart that there wasn't that gratitude. And he's done so much for us. He's done far more than just heal us physically. He saved our eternal soul. But when was the last time we prayed and said, "Lord, thank you for saving my soul. Thank you for a wonderful salvation." Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 1. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 1. The Bible says this, 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 1. You're familiar with this passage of scripture, I'm sure. The Bible says this, "Know also that in the last days perilous or dangerous time shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy." Now think about it for just a moment, this list of ungodliness. And yet right in the middle of this list, we see that the Bible says that in the last days is from the death of Christ to the rapture of believers. We are living in the last days. You say, "Well, I think we're living in the last days of the last days." That could be true. But at the end of the day, we are living in the last age, the last days. And the Bible defines the last days as those who would be blasphemers and those who are proud and boasters, those who are disobedient to their parents. They are against God-given authority. Do you see that in the world today? The Bible says that they are unthankful and unholy people, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. A generation where people have rejected the truth. And yet in the middle of these last days and all of this ungodliness, this perilous time, the Bible says it's defined as a day of unthankfulness. Unthankfulness. I think we understand how important it is for us as Christians to be thankful and to thank the Lord for all. I think it's hard for us as Christians to grow and to take steps forward if we are not a thankful people. And understanding that the events of our life are all Father-filtered, that this is the will for our life, and we are to thank God that though he doesn't always take us from the trial, he gives us the grace to get through it. And that truly is a faithful God. A lady was picking through some frozen turkeys at the grocery store, and she couldn't find one big enough for her family. And so she asked the young man who was working there, she said, "Do these turkeys get any bigger?" And the young man said, "No, ma'am, they're all dead." And I think that a Christian won't grow and won't go forward if we're not thankful for what the Lord has done for our life. God, help us today to be a thankful people. I think we see praise, but also I think forgiveness is also a fruit of thankfulness. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 2, verse 10, to whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave I it in the person of Christ, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Someone said, we are most like beasts when we kill, we are most like men when we judge, but we are most like God when we forgive. And that's a wonderful lesson for us. At Thanksgiving dinner, one wife said, who wants to carve the turkey? And her father said, you carve them, you married them. You know, listen, we have to be a people who are forgiving and loving and kind and kind and kind. You know, the Bible teaches us that we are to be thankful, and thankfulness will respond in forgiveness, but also faithfulness. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, the Bible says, now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the Savior of his knowledge by us in every place. We always triumph in Jesus Christ, and a thankful heart for salvation and who God is should respond in faithfully serving him and faithfully giving him our life, because the Bible says it's our reasonable service for all that Christ has done for us. And then I believe not only faithfulness and forgiveness and praise, but also giving. The Bible says in Psalm 116, verse 17, I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and will call upon the name of the Lord. Thankfulness is such an important part of the Christian's life. And listen, I'll tell you this, thankfulness and thanksgiving, or thanksgiving, is not just a one-day thing in the life of a believer. It is a continual thing. We ought to always be a thankful people. Thankfulness, the fruit of thanksgiving, is expressed in the heart of gratitude and a heart of giving. So do you understand this morning the foundation of our gratitude? It is because of Christ. He is the provider. He has given himself. He is a faithful God, and we are steadfast. We are secure in him. The focus is on the Lord. He deserves all of our praise and all of our glory. But are we bearing the fruit of thanksgiving? Are we a forgiving people? Are we a people of sacrifice and giving? Are we serving the Lord with gladness, the Bible says? All of it is the fruit of a thankful people. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you so much for your blessings. We thank you